This interview was recorded for the Dersingham 2000 History Project on the 23rd of September 1999. Please may I have your full name?
Charles Alfred Reynolds. I was born at Dersingham, at Roseneath, Post Office Road, Dersingham. I now live at 28 Post Office Road, Dersingham. I have a cousin, Derek Reynolds, who still lives in the village. My earliest memories of the village are from living with my father in his house at Roseneath and working in the nursery gardens, which we grew all sorts of plants and imported from Holland, azaleas, daffodils and whatnot in the season. Also, when I was in the village, I worked at Stanton's farm as a Halsey boy.
And a what?
A Halsey boy, which leads leading horses, carrying the shoes of hay or straw or even wheat to the stacks, and then getting on the stacks and preparing and building the stacks.
Now, first of all, you didn't actually say when you were born here.
I was 24th of September, 1924.
Right, and this business about working for Mr. Stanton, how old were you when you were doing that?
I was about, somewhere about 9 years old.
Really?
Yeah.
And yet you were doing horses and things
at the age of nine? Yeah, yeah. My father had horses, but he had a business growing the greengrocers, taking it to King's Inn Market, and we used to take that for 2 days a week from there in open cart, and I used to sell in the cart with a sack over my head in bad weather, backwards and forwards. He also had shops and at King's Inn, at Hunt Stanton, which he put his sisters in. And this was at Hanson High Street, which they all owned the properties there, and we used to have to go up there as well.
So your dad bought these little shops?
Yes, in High Street, yes.
And then your sisters?
Yes.
Had to work in the shops?
His sisters had to work in the shops.
His sisters worked
in
the shops. Well,
they ran the shops, you see.
Right, so it was very much a big family concern.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Now, obviously there's a limit to what you can remember about your dad, but could you go back and tell us a bit about how you know your granddad also lived here? And
I don't remember much about granddad because he wasn't here very long when he came, and he died and left grandma.
Right.
And grandma lived in the corner house, and she had a sweet shop there.
Which corner house is that?
That's one shown on the map. 1905, right on the corner, where the buildings were.
Now, on the corner of Post Office Road.
There was a house right opposite my bungalow here.
Yes.
Which was the old family house.
And that's where your dad lived.
That's where my granddad lived. Then he moved to Roseneath, which was built, I think, somewhere after the war. About 1920. That's the one over here, red brick house.
Right.
My father built that when I think somewhere when he got married or something like that. Well, he must have been married before then because I was born in 1924. I don't know exact date he had that built.
And your dad ran the nursery that was across the road from you.
Yes.
That's actually where the library now stands.
Yeah, that's right, yes.
So what sort of things did he...
Well, he grows vegetables, and he was a horticulturalist. His father, the granddad was a nurseryman as well.
Yeah.
And he used to grow all produce for sale, and he also had tomatoes, cucumbers. The photograph of the long greenhouse, which was 40 foot by 300 feet, is where he used to grow somewhere about 4,000 cucumbers in the season and all this sort of thing.
But because that long greenhouse was right along the road, wasn't it?
Yeah, well,
because
I can remember back the road, it connected from the house
yes.
to the existing one where he had the house built.
So he supplied all this veg and stuff to the whole village?
Yeah. Well, if they wanted to come here, yes, but we used to go to the market in Kington as well.
Right.
Yeah, and this, everything, and he had the land, we got the land at Mill Road, which we still own.
At Mill Road?
At Mill Road, Dursingham, at the top, and we have still own land up there, which
right.
is now let to tenant farmer.
Yes.
And we used to go on there as well, which is about somewhere about 3.5 acres of land up there.
But was that anywhere near Mill House?
Yes, and on the Mill House is just above it, and we're on the road between Mill House and the road that goes to Sandingham. We're on the side.
Right.
And he used to go all this stuff and sell it to him. And we used to, and he also had a nursery doing bedding plants and all that sort of thing, all through the season. He used to grow all this stuff about bedding plants. And then Christmas at Taylor's bulbs and all this sort of thing.
Now, there was how many of the children? Just you and your brother?
My brother, yes.
Yes, and he was older than you?
Yes, he's 4 years older.
Right. And did he used to help on the farm as well?
Yes, well, we all had, after Mother died when I was six, we had various housekeepers came in. They didn't last very long, unfortunately.
Was that because you were naughty?
Yes. And of course, we my father employed people, and we have to, well, from that age, we had to make the best of a bad job. So we had to, I used to have to cook breakfast when I was six and seven, and this was it. And the men used to come and sit in the kitchen with a long table, and we used to have to, before they started work, and we used to prepare the breakfast.
But 7, 8 years
old? Yeah,
You wouldn't imagine an 8 year old boy doing that today.
No way. And of course, through the years, my brother went to King Edward School, he won a scholarship, but what happened, they withdrew the scholarship paying the bus fares, and I passed the scholarship, and my father at times couldn't afford to pay go on the bus.
So it wasn't the fact that you couldn't pay to go to the school, but you couldn't get your bus fare?
I couldn't get my bus fare. And so that's why I used to do the harvest, to get the money to pay for my education.
So you still went to?
I went to and we went, and I used to sometimes bike in the fine weather.
All the way to Lynn?
Yes, and the occasions when it was bad, I have walked from Dursingham to King Edward School for my education. And I remember one Christmas we got to Banbury Bridge, which is now cut off from the road now, and we were sitting in there, and somebody in a car came up, it was snowing. I was with a chap called Jerry Richards, who was coming home, and the car pulled up, and my father told me not to take a lift, and the chap, I don't think he was any ill intent at all, we could make it out. And
why, you refused to go with him?
If he refused, then we just used to do it, that's how we do it. And in the end, things got better, and I was able to go on the bus.
But how long did it take you to walk?
Oh, I don't know.
He must have been up ever so early.
We used to see the men used to start working at 5 and 6 in the morning, so there was no hard feelings. And I suppose we used to start off about 6, get there for 9, and leave there about, I think we used to leave about 4:30, 4 o'clock, and then come back.
But you'd be walking in the dark in the winter.
Yeah, we used to walk in the dark.
Goodness.
It wasn't easy times, far from it.
No. Now, I don't suppose you can actually remember anything about your mum.
Well, I remember my mother, because what happened to her, father used to have horses, and he put my uncle into coal business, which went down at the coal yard at Dursingham, and he used to have high carts, he used to get the coal, up under the flap on the door, and push it from the trucks into the cart.
And this was the coal that had come into Lynn.
Came into Durham Station.
Oh, Durham Station, of course, yes.
And what happened, he bought this horse, which I understand was a circus horse, and what happened, this thing, when it got loaded in the sidecar, just at that time, they tipped it out. And what happened, according to what I understand, he put it in the paddock behind the house, and my mother went out there to kind of and look at it, and he hadn't had it very long, and unfortunately she went to stroke it and it up on his hind legs and hit her one, and she got taken ill, and I think she died from pneumonia, I don't know exactly. That.
So it was the hit from the horse
that started the chain of events. That's what happened.
That killed your poor mum.
Yeah. And it was just one of those things.
You must have been in a terrible state.
Well, we used to, every summer, we used to be put on the train to my uncle at Croydon with a label on for holidays, because my father was working all the time, to give him a break. And we used to go with a Mac on a label. Down there.
You'd get on the train at Dursingham?
Get in train at Dursingham and go right all the way to Liverpool Street. Then we used to be picked up at Liverpool Street.
And this was your uncle?
Uncle, yeah.
Your dad's brother?
No, he was Fred Martin, who lived at Double Lodges. He walked from Double Lodges and set up a greengrocery business in Croydon. He walked all there. First he started with a barrow, then he had horse and cart. And he finished up with three kind of lorries when he used to deliver. Well, I used to deliver stuff for him when I was a lot older down there. Well, and he started, and unfortunately, he had a built bungalow at Avondale Road, Croydon, and he called it Sandringham because he was born. And unfortunately, his first wife died, which was my father's wife's sister. And then he got married again, and unfortunately they both finished up in the lunatic asylum. And the master of the lunacy took all the money.
You mean they developed what you'd call Alzheimer's, what we know?
Well, I don't know what it was, because all I know is that the master of the lunacy took a lot.
Oh dear. But when you were little boys and you broke up from school, So you and your brother would go all the way to Croydon on the train?
On summertime, yes.
To give you a holiday?
I used to be there, because it was a very nice time, because he used to have a yard, and there were gypsies in this yard.
Was this before Croydon was built up as big place?
No, it was before it was built up, but yes. The Avondale Road and Purley Way, I've ridden down there on a boat with grapes and got on the tram lines and up and got all over. But this is it. And he had gypsies in this yard, and they used to be winter there, and when I used to go down summer they were still there, they're very clean people. That's the first time I've ever, when I was young, tasted hedgehog, because they bake them
in clay.
And they're marvellous people, because they had marvellous caravans. And the china in there was absolutely fantastic.
Yes.
And they used to run about bare feet, these children.
Yeah. Now, so presumably you never actually had a holiday with your own dad?
No, because the idea was to get him up so he could ease off worrying about us and run the business, because he was running the business and he was looking after the business for the other men in the family as well.
So your poor old dad never had a holiday?
He never had a holiday at all. That was it.
It was just a grind.
Grind, get it done. He set these other people in business, and I don't want to say too much about this, but with GGs, all four of them went bust.
Yes.
And he set them up in cool business, hairdressing business, and goodness knows what. That's a reflection on the people who have something to do with them now, so I don't want to say too much about it.
No, of course. So really, you can only remember a childhood of hard work.
Well, that's all we had. We had to live.
I mean, what things... You must have had some fun when you were
Well, we
lad.
Did, because we had some fun. Because we were brought up by elderly people, and we matured far age.
Yeah, so when you were sort of 10 years old, you were like a grown-up.
Well, I mean, when I went in the forces, it was the biggest laugh under the sun. Some of these people didn't even know how to tie the shoelaces up and all this sort of thing. And I just waltzed it.
Yes.
But, I mean, this was it.
Now, you stayed at school and at Kez until you were, what, 14?
I stayed there till I was... Wait a minute, I've got to get sorted out. I joined the forces in 1941. So I was...
I'm no good at maths.
No, but I'm just in... I left when I was 15, King Edward School.
And did you go straight from school into the forces?
No, I went. I worked for the government.
Ah.
And what happened?
Was this in Lynn?
In King's Inn. I worked for the Inland Revenue in King's Inn. So it was only a short time. I was only a temporary. And what happened, through circumstances, my cousin Pete, he was one of my father's brothers. He got killed at Abbeville with a sniper's bullet.
That's in France.
In France.
Yeah.
He was a messenger. He was in the Norfolks. And he was taking a message to a chap at Thornham. And he was standing on top of a tank giving orders, and he was way behind the lines, and he got the VC for it.
Oh, my.
I wouldn't say too much.
No.
But anyhow... And that's what it was then. There was Pete, who got killed in Burma. He was in the RAF.
Another brother
of the one who got killed at Aberdeen.
Yeah, yeah.
And what happened, we didn't know in years afterwards. He escaped to Java when he got captured at Singapore. They captured him in Java, and by all accounts, what happened? They brought him back to Singapore, formed a square, or a circle around him, and he kneeled down and chopped his head off. And that was the sticks. And then through that, his elder brother, who used to work for us, he'd moved from the nursery, he joined the RAF. My brother, he had already joined the RAF, and when I heard about it, I packed up everything at school and went.
To avenge your family. Because it's a terrible thing, isn't it? How many people were killed.
Yes, yeah. See, I joined the RAF, and then I was trying to be a pilot. Then I was, unfortunately, in a situation where they didn't want any more fighter pilots. So what happened, they gave me three options, and I was discharged honourably by the RAF from Torquay. And then, from there on in, I was in the RAF, and then all of a sudden they said they didn't want any more pilots, and we were supposed to be going to Canada as bomber pilots, but we didn't get that far because they didn't want any more pilots.
Right, so did they send you right out of the RAF?
Well, they asked us what we wanted to do. I had three options: go down the coal mines,
yes,
join the Sibby Street, or something about prison service or something. And I just said Civic Street.
And then I came back home,
and I was only here for 3 days, and the dispatch rider arrived with a police report for Tanya Barracks, Norwich, and that was it.
Oh dear. So when did you finally come back to farming, to your guard, Mark?
1947.
Right, and you moved into this house that you're now living in?
No, I arrived in the morning, and climbed up the ladder to get in my room. Next morning, the lady who was my stepmother, who I didn't get on with, said to me, "Oh, you've come home then." I said yes, and because I made allotment to my father when I was abroad, I went to find out the money, and she'd spent all the money on it.
Of the money that should have been your dad's from you?
Yeah, it'd be all gone.
Yeah.
So there you are.
Oh dear.
But it's just one of those things.
Yes. Well, then you took over your dad's business. Well,
no, I stayed. That was a bad winter, and I stayed at home till March, and I rejoined the government.
Right.
But all the time, I worked for the government, but I still had an interest here.
Yes.
And that's what happened. And I rejoined the Inland Revenue, took a reconstruction exam, and then I went in the district manager's office. And I finished up in the district manager's office. But I don't know.
Now, so when did all of this across the road, that was your dad's place, when did that finally go and become the library and all the other places?
When my father died.
Right.
And my brother has got all that. I haven't got any detail of that because he was the beneficiary under the will.
Right.
But he died and...
So it was your brother who took over the land.
He took over the land and
sold. He didn't want to carry on.
Well, what happened? We had a compulsory purchase order from King's Inn Corporation, took the land.
So your dad's land was taken by compulsory
purchase when after he died. We had it for a little while, and my brother inherited. The next thing, they sent a compulsory purchase order over, and we had Crusoe and Wilton try to fight it, and they just took a lot because they wanted land in the centre of the village.
And on that land they wanted to build the library and these old people's bunkers.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, that's what happened.
I see. So you didn't really have much of a say in the matter?
No, well what happened was that brother had it, and since they knew that what happened, my father had money in land, but he hadn't got the capital. And we had to, and when they realised we had some other land which we had to pay for, and this land at the back here was sold to help pay for the estate duty. And that was, believe it or not, that was sold for £1,000.
The land at the bottom?
Where the post office telephone exchange is.
Right.
Was sold for
now, you were telling me earlier on how much land was when you were young.
Yeah.
You said when you were a young lad, how much was land then?
When these plots were sold...
Yes, and these were in 19... These ones in 1928?
Yes.
Yes.
Were sold. They were sold in plots of varying areas, and building land for there worked out about £125 a plot. And that was... A plot was about 1,570 square yards.
Right.
They were sold at that worked out. Building land roughly in 1900 was worth £180 per acre.
For building land?
For building land.
And for farming land?
Farming land in 13th of October 1890, there was land sold in the village which was acquired by my grandfather. That was 3 acres, 1 rule, 25 purchase for under £60. And that means that roughly agricultural land was about £60 per acre at that time,
yes.
Which was in 1890.
Right.
And that's it.
So your granddad actually had quite a lot of land in this
village. He bought quite a bit. He was there were farmers at Pullen Marker, and what happened in the Depression, somewhere in 1890 or something like that. He had 3 farms at Pullen Market near Norwich, and he went bust. So that's why he came here.
Right.
And from that money, I think he acquired the house on the corner and the nursery and the other land.
Because I suppose Dursingham was then such a tiny place.
Well, that if you look at the 1905 map there, you'll see what it was like.
Yes. So the land would be cheap.
Yes.
Right. Now,
there's questions here now. Biggest change I've seen in the village is actually the development of the village, which I hope doesn't get any bigger.
Now everybody says that, but we have talked about this to lots of people. It really can't, can it?
Well, I see the whole thing, the village envelope now is precluded, and also the fact that Dersham and Heacham only people have got development as at this date.
Now, what do you mean by that?
Insofar as the planning of the growth of the villages now have been restricted insofar as development is only allowed in Heacham and Dersham now.
Yes,
but the development plan of the village shows a development area.
Yes.
But there is a grey area. You can't go any further west.
You can't go down the marsh.
South. You can't. That's what I'm saying. You can't go down the marsh. You can't go south of Mistake because that's there. You can't go north because you're precluded because of what they call the village envelope finishes, and there's a buffer zone where you can't develop.
And there's the big hill, isn't
but,
there?
But you've got east. It's the only place you can go.
Yeah, but east really is just that bit of field, isn't it?
Yeah, but the fact is, there are people up there, taking the removal to Sherman, who've got Jackson's own a piece of land in Mill Road. We're old on it, and there is electricity and water.
Ah.
Now, and if we get drainage like sewage, which won't be no bother now because they develop right up the top. But that's got to be when the development land the plan expands.
And so you're saying the land up the hill?
Up the hill.
Up Fern Hill and across there could be possibly
but the
developed.
But the Queen owns all that now.
Yes.
But we have got land in that place in the road which can be developed.
I see. So you're saying the village could grow still?
Well, I think that's the only way they can develop.
Yes.
What can they do?
Because at the moment, apart from the land that's going down towards the bypass, which has all been sold, they can do is little bits of infill.
Well, I can't see how they can infill, because there's nothing they can infill with. But this is it.
Now, so you say the worst thing you can say is the way the village has grown, but can you remember any specific time? Like, I'm not talking about like when your mum died, but any particular time when you can remember an awful day in the village?
Well, I can't. All I think is that there were the floods which came up here.
Now, did that affect you here?
No, it didn't affect it. It only went up to the railway line.
Yes.
And that evening, I had my best suit on, I always remember that, and they came up to the flood, came over, and there was big concrete blocks coming, floating in the water, coming up, and we went down to Dersham Station, and...
Concrete blocks floating?
Yes, actually floating. They were coming all across, and of course cattle will always find their own place, and we were down there, and all of a sudden, up the road, we saw an animal coming, and of course we had the big station gates there.
Yes.
And then somebody said, we'll turn him around, and of course I had the cattle pens, we'll put him in there, and that was a bull. And it didn't do no more, it just went over the one gate, went over the other gate.
Jumped,
and they tried to stop it. In the end, I think they found it somewhere at Hartley.
He knew it wasn't going to stop there.
But I remember that. And of course, the next day we were going along trying to find dead bodies and all that sort of thing.
Because a lot of the cows died, of course, didn't they?
Yeah, but see, this is it. But a lot of them, it got on where the trees were and got on them, and they were like living. Because they got the high ground. They got enough sense to get the high ground.
Yes.
But they were.
Right.
Will you retire in the village? Yes, I'm here.
Presumably you'll be buried here.
Yes, I will be. Cremated.
So, does millennium mean anything to you?
Personally, millennium to me is the biggest racket I've ever seen in my life, money-wise, and that's what I'm saying. It is. It's a con by this government and a con from the last government to get people to spend money and say that were all worth it happened. I mean, you've got computers. I've been brought on by computers, and I'm possibly too old now. But I mean, the fact is, this is the biggest con I've ever seen. Saying millennium.
Yes.
What's the difference to ordinary New Year's Day?
Yes.
if you look at a Christian calendar, and I'm no Christian, I'll be that, but they are. I mean, the fact is, I think it's the biggest con.
Yeah.
I understand.
And as a landowner, or as someone who, do you think that farmers today are really having as bad a time?
No, because they've got set aside. How much do they get for set aside? And I've never seen a poor farmer running around in a mini, have you?
No, but they say that that's up till now, but they're I mean, when they're talking about getting a penny for a...
Yeah, but the fact is, they brought it on themselves. They've spent, they fed foodstuff to these cattle, which got scrapy or whatever they call it.
Scrapies.
Fed it to all food from sheep. They fed it on to them, which is absolutely was feeding disease into the system, and then they cried the tears of it. Now, I mean, you got the cattle, right? They produce calves for milk herds. I mean, the fact is, through increased science and a cow must probably have two calves, where it only have one, same as sheep, and that's how it's got.
So we've really got more than we need.
Well, I mean, we may not have more than we need, but you've got to realise there's other things in this, and this is the supermarkets who want their share of the profits, which is the middleman, which my father had years ago, and it's all the business. I mean, when you think, this is years ago, we used to grow lettuces and send them to Nottingham Market, and we used to get 2p for that lettuce. Our patch used to be sold at Hunstanton at one shilling and sixpence. Same packs. All they've done, gone at Nottingham Market and come back to Hunstanton.
All the way, the lettuce would go to Nottingham
and then... Right, we get £2 return, and then we sold retail at one shilling and sixpence.
So this kind of what people complain about the supermarkets ripping you off...
It's been going on for years.
...has been going on all the time.
The middleman will always take the profit ratio.
So when your dad was selling direct to the villagers all those years ago...
Yeah, well, poor old dad used to sell for nothing sort of stuff, but they are.
Yes.
And anybody went in the nursery at Sunday, we weren't allowed to take any money.
Really?
Yeah.
You had to give them away.
We gave, and that came, well, you'd come to me with a bit of racket, weren't you? Flowers for the grave, tomatoes, cucumbers, and all that sort of thing.
Now, the one thing you didn't tell me was when you actually moved into this bungalow here.
We moved into here when I got married. And God knows how long I've been married now.
Have you had your ruby wedding yet?
I had a golden wedding.
You've had a golden wedding? So right, so that's...
Yeah, we had it this year, May.
Yes.
So 60 years back, 1930, something like that.
Right, so you've lived in this bungalow?
Yeah, ever since.
And have you ever actually run a market garden yourself?
Yes, because we had to run it for my father, because he was ill for 10 years.
So you had to give up your work in...
No, we both worked for the government.
Right, but you did this as well?
We did this as well, kept going.
So you must have been pretty busy.
Yes, and, well, what can you do?
So when you were a little boy, you never joined in the other village boys?
I used to play football and cricket. I was young as the family, used to think of power ball down, getting out every time and all that. Used to do boxing as well.
And they used to, they tell me that there was like two ends to the village, this end and that end.
Yeah, well, it was, but not too bad at all. I never found it. I used to mix with them and all that sort of thing.
Yes.
No bother.
Right. And you used to go along to the pub?
Yes.
White Horse?
Yes, White Horse, Harry Chester. I was there just before the war when the Yanks were here. And one day we went round to Coach and Horses. I always remember that. And I was only a youngster. We had this Master Sergeant Yank. We'd had a few beers in there and he was going to give us all a hiding. But he got the wrong ones.
Oh, so you gave him one?
Yeah, because I was taught boxing at school. He thought he'd go at me and he got big rings on his fingers and all these gongs and whatnot. He took a swing at me and I ducked him and the mark was a Queensbury, we didn't come in it, he went down.
Oh, so that's one of the
yeah,
things you've got.
I've got a red concave and my nose broken.
Now, so you said you wouldn't like to see any more building in the village.
I think it's gone too far.
Right.
Because there is such a thing as Carstone Ridge at the back of the village, where the new development is, and that's why Mr. Hipkin had to put a pump in the station to push the water over. And if there is another flood, and they're all talking about that, that can come round that and come up.
Now, whereabouts is what you
the
Carstone
Ridge?
Ridge.
If you look at, if you go down to the station,
yes,
you drop very quickly down Mount Baton Road.
Yeah,
that is where the Carstone Ridge is, right through there.
Right.
And the natural drainage is down from Lynn Road, which goes down Wanner Road across there. Down there is the natural dike down there, and which it takes it down there.
Right.
And that's and as far as that's concerned, you can't. It's like Carstone, you have the house built, there's a ridge in it,
yes.
and it will not let the water out. And all the water used to have to come right from the station all the way along that dike and then go down the one. Yeah. And of course, we've had flooding in the back of Manor Road quite a bit, and I know they've built in there and whatnot.
So you're saying the fact that all this building has gone on has meant that if there was a flood again.
Well, it could happen. Because they've only got a pumping station to keep that pumping station, and there was a pumping station before when the floods came, and it didn't stop it because it was with Wolfton.
I see.
I mean, we're not very far. I mean, all right, we've got a hill there.
Yes.
But it's the water coming through the sewage systems. If you get, I mean, there wasn't a pumping station there for the dokes, but if you get it through that and builds back, it could happen.
Ah. Oh. Because where we live in Station Road, we always say, well, we'd be perfectly all right, because...
Yeah, well, I mean, the whole thing, you most probably would be, you most probably high up, but this where you're sitting now is in the bowl of Dersium.
The bowl?
I mean, you come up Station Road, and now you
and
look up...
And it goes down.
And then they've got the whole hills around you.
Yes, of course. Yeah. And the water pours down Fernhill.
I mean, the water down Fernhill, where the dew ponds are, which I suppose are down, I mean... We spent quite a time in Spain because my daughter married a Spaniard, and we were away, and the water came down and just nearly flooded this bungalow. If it hadn't been people put the
and it was bright yellow.
That's right. It comes from the hill, Fern Hill, which we are on the land up Fern Hill at one time on the left.
Right, and the water came sort of
down. Come down. I come out of course the dew ponds would get too full, and then they come over.
I think we
have we run out?
Nearly. I think
any minute now.
Right.
So, anything else you could tell us before we run off the end?
Well, not much really. It's just a case that we all said we'd never come back here to live. The daughter was in Spain. But that went haywire.
You liked it out there?
Yeah, very much so.
Liked all the sun?
It was not the sun, it was the people we liked.
Really?
And I was doing a job confidentially out there. I worked for the government. And
what area of Spain was this down there?
Barcelona.
Oh, lovely.
We had a villa out there.
Yes, lovely.
And what happened was that I was... We were retiring, and what happened? This is highly confidential. Well, so can you turn it off? I don't want this to know. Is it nearly off?